Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise this conference is being recorded today on Wednesday, the 7th of November, 2012. And I would now like to hand the conference over to your presenter today, Mr. Arne Frank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everybody, and very, very welcome to AAK's third quarter interim report. We are sitting here in an autumn-like but cheerful Malmö, South Sweden, together with Peter Korsholm, our CFO, and Fredrik Nilsson, our head of investor relations. We have a PowerPoint pack here that we would like to talk you through, following a similar pattern as our previous quarters. We'll go through the third quarter results. We will talk a little bit about Superstorm or Hurricane Sandy, go into some business area information, talk a little bit about AAK acceleration, and by the end of this, we would most likely have ample time for some Q&A. So with this little introduction, we are very glad to announce another good, stable, solid quarterly result with some real extraordinary performance in food ingredients. But I propose we go to page 3, and doing so, I also pass over the microphone to Peter Korsholm.
Thank you, Anna. Yes, if you're all on page 3, I'll briefly take you through the group performance for the third quarter. As you know, volumes increased by 5% compared to the third quarter 11. There was a slight decrease in sales in the quarter as a consequence of lower raw material prices than the prices we had a year ago. However, operating profit increased nicely from 246 to 273 million Swedish, which is an improvement of 11%, very strongly driven by the performance in our food ingredients part of the business, where we had basically the strongest third quarter we ever had at 190 million, up from 143 last year, which is an improvement of 33%, and very good result, we believe. In CCF, we're still seeing some of the impact of the market conditions, which meant that operating profits were 88 million Swedish versus 112 million Swedish last year. And at TPF, the technical product and feed part of the business, we improved profits from 15 million Swedish last year until 22 million Swedish this year, which was basically in line with what we had expected. If you move on to page number 4, you will note that operating profit per kilo continued to increase. So we saw an increase from 0.67 last year in the third quarter to 0.71 Swedish krona per kilo this quarter, which is an improvement of 6%, and which is a consequence of the trend which we've been working on for a while now, where we are moving away from low margin commodity volumes and exchanging those for higher margin products. But I would also say that in this particular quarter, we had a very favorable product mix in food ingredients, which helped this key metric for us. Cash flow was very strong, and I'll get into that in more detail in a couple of slides. But cash flow from operating activities were 364 million Swedish versus 189 last year. And earnings per share increased by 17% from 3.48 per Swedish krona per share to 4.08 Swedish krona per share. So if we flip on to page number 5, which is basically sort of the overview graphs that we use to sort of follow the trend of our business, I think they generally continue to show a positive upward sloping trend. So volumes increased, as mentioned, by 5%. Operating profit up by 11%. We saw the operating profit per kilo improvement that we just talked about, which is basically the strongest operating profit per kilo we've seen for a third quarter and one of the highest we ever had. And then importantly, I think you can see that we are trending upwards on the return on net operating assets, which is basically a consequence of the increasing profit, and at the same time that we are able to reduce working capital so that we get a better ratio here. And talking about working capital, we can flip on to page number 6, where you can see the cash flow. As I mentioned, we had cash flow from operating activities, including change in working capital of 364 million Swedish. You can see we had a positive outflow from working capital in the quarter of 141 million. I think it's also very much worth noticing the performance in a year-to-date basis. So actually, on a year-to-date basis, we have cash flow of operating activities, including change in working capital, of 1.1 billion Swedish. And in the quarter, we had basically a normal investment level at 71 million Swedish. Final point to make on this slide is basically the net debt EBITDA at 30th of September was the debt at 30th December was 2.859 million Swedish, and that's a reduction compared to the December numbers, which was 3.141. So in spite of the acquisitions we did in May, the strong cash flow has helped us actually reduce our leverage. Final point to make, as many of you may have noticed, during the last couple of months, we've seen quite significant changes in raw material price, particularly on the palm oil side. You can see that on page 7. So we've seen a decrease basically of something like $150 per ton. And this is obviously something which flows into our working capital. We've talked about this before. For a while, we had the slide a little bit further in the back because prices were more stable. But with this decrease, this is going to impact our working capital positively. So we will need to, or we will have the opportunity to tie up less capital in working capital. As we write here, we expect a 10% change in the raw material prices to impact working capital by plus minus 250 million. And we expect this to happen within a 6 to 9 month time lag. So in the numbers we just went through, there's no or certainly very minimal impact of the price decrease we're seeing at the moment. So with those words, let me hand back to Anna Frank.
Thank you, Peter. A few words on Hurricane Sandy. Many of you probably saw that we disclosed a small, short press release roughly a week ago. As you all know, U.S. is an important part of our business. We have now 3 factories. We have a head office located in Edison, New Jersey. We have the main factory in Port Newark, very, very nearby, less than a mile away from the runways of the Newark Airport, just by the river. And we have a factory in Louisville, and we have a factory in Oasis, which is also New Jersey, a little bit further away from the shore. You're all familiar with the Superstorm Sandy. And you have seen in media and you've seen the pictures and you may be seen on the news on television that this has been a dramatic event. We are glad to announce that our Oasis plant is up and running since early this week. Our office is open again since early this week. But our Port Newark factory is still closed. We expect to be able to start ship from existing inventories in hopefully less than a week from today. And we are hoping to be able to start to produce again in slightly less than 2 weeks from today. The factory is, as far as we know, not hurt mechanically in any important way, but the flooding has been dramatic. We still, as of yesterday evening, U.S. local time, did not have power. This part of the Port Newark area was still not connected to the grid, which is a challenge. We are now working intensively, portable power, different activities to get back in action. But this is something we need to disclose. As we are saying here on page 8, we have, I would tend to say, a good insurance coverage, covering both property damage, recommissioning, extraordinary maintenance activities, and business interruption. Nevertheless, we have, of course, some costs related to this, self-deductibles and so forth. So we want here to disclose that we expect a net financial impact of this in the range of 20 to 25 million SEK, Swedish krona. Most of it will affect our Q4 results. Intense activity going on to service the customers in all kind of ways. We service some customers from our Louisville factory. We service some customers from our Mexican factory. And we are finding all various ways to support our customers with products and to limit the customer effects of this. But of course, this is a major, major event that now many, many people are working very hard to minimize the effects. Moving on to more positive things, page 9. Food ingredients, as Peter said, plus 33% in EBIT, and I can admit that in an interview earlier today, I expressed that this was even better. We expected a good food ingredients, but this was even better than we had expected. 190 million Swedish krona compared to last year, 143, an increase of 33%. Also, we would tend to say surpassing, exceeding our expectations, operating profit per kilo up 16% from 0.67 Swedish to 0.78 Swedish. And you have at several occasions in this call asked what was the objective, and we were aiming for 0.7 and we hit 0.78. If you ask what's the next objective, I would say we aim for 0.8 and then we'll see. Significant volume growth, 14%, despite still struggling quite significantly in the UK for various reasons. So volume evolution also quite satisfactory. And it's particularly in this quarter again, our infant nutrition activities. And also our bakery product business has been particularly successful. So, ladies and gentlemen, end of page 9, we say that we continue to remain clearly optimistic for the future of this business area in the next coming quarters and beyond. Page 10, some graphs showing this. I believe they are quite self-explanatory. I had a question in an interview here if being clearly optimistic means that we can do plus 33 every quarter. The answer to that is a clear no, but we expect a good evolution to move on. and very difficult to predict what kind of operating profit levels or EBIT per kilo levels we can achieve, but we expect this to continue to develop nicely. Chocolate and confectionery fats. We predicted that it would be a tough quarter, and so it was. We are up sequentially. We want to underline that. You can see on page 12, if we look upon these two pages in parallel, we are up quite significantly sequentially, but that is what we should be as Q3 is and parts of Q4 is very much peak season for the slightly seasonal chocolate confectionery fats business. The operating result reached finally 88 million, down from 112, minus 21%. Operating profit per kilo 1.14 Swedish krona compared to 1.32. And the comment is, of course, this is because the general economy, but it's even more so, of course, because of the very low cocoa butter prices we have seen since a long time now. These prices are recently, since a month or two, now up again. For a while, they were up to something that for AAK would be very attractive and beneficial, if we look upon it strictly from an AAK perspective, which I believe we should. Is this a stable price level going forward? Nobody knows. Many would believe so, though. And if cocoa butter prices would remain at historically more normal price levels, we want to say this is likely to have an effect on AAK, but to a material extent only, we would say, from Q3, Q4, 2013. For the fourth quarter this year and beginning of 2013, we believe for various reasons that this business area will remain under strong pressure. So those are the comments to page 11 and also to page 12. Moving on, our smallest business area, technical products and feed. Profit up 47%, but we would like to say from an extremely low level. We had maybe ourselves here expected to do a little bit better than this. Crushing is up, but last year we suffered from an extraordinarily long maintenance stop. We could say that 22 instead of 15 last year, plus 47%, but this was to us a little bit of a disappointment. We have here in the portfolio some businesses that are very cyclical, and here there is large pressure on margins, and it's probably not very value creating to chase some volumes, so we haven't, and hence volumes have decreased here 6%. We also have some timing issues here that gives a little bit more hope for Q4, but we expect Q4 to not be very fantastic either. So, or as we say here in the PowerPoint slide, that the next quarters will continue to be challenging, with profitability expected to improve just modestly. Moving on to page 14 to give a geographical perspective on all of this. Starting out west, our U.S. business is continuing to develop very, very nicely. When we closed down our New Jersey factories, we were on our way to a very, very good Q3 and a very, very good start of Q4. The U.S. business is developing very, very nicely, and the teams are doing a very good job. Our Latin America business is also developing very, very strongly. Then we have commented on the U.K. The economy is tough. The entire food sector is under large pressure, and our reconfiguration from a pure commodity approach to a specialty and semi-specialty approach is not easy at all. So we continue to see a negative trend there. In the Nordic countries, in the other parts of Western Europe, in Central Europe, and in Eastern Europe, we are doing relatively nicely, and we are in a stagnant market, probably gaining market share to some extent. And then we must increase our businesses in China and other parts of Asia. We are still relatively small here, or very small, some would say, but from a low level, the business is increasing nicely, and our teams are doing a very good job preparing for a more important future in this part of the world, we would tend to say. Moving on, strong focus on AAK acceleration, and you all know now that this is how we try to drive our company. Three main areas: growth, efficiency, people. We need to work with the accelerator and the brake at the same time, and then by the end of the day, not much was done without enthusiastic people, and people with excellent know-how in their fields. As you know, we measure the results, but running a company by measuring results is like driving a car looking in the rear mirror. So we have a fanatical focus also on what some would call leading indicators. We say that we measure that we do what we know we need to do to get to where we know we can get. We are now here not disclosing every detail of this, so we are showing you a more like blended KPIs. And we have here what we showed you after Q2, and then we have now the Q3 blended KPI. And the color codes are, to remind you, we are here working with, I would tend to say, semi-stretched objectives. If everything was green here, we would exceed all expectations, I would tend to say. Yellow smiley is also quite good, and neutral smiley is on plan, and then red should be avoided, of course. The bakery business is changing from green smiley to yellow smiley. We don't want to overreact on this. It's probably a tendency that we need to raise the bar. It's probably a sign of a tendency that we might get to a saturation point in certain areas, and we need to raise the bar. The dairy fat alternative business is doing nicely, but has suffered from low butter prices and low milk fat prices in large parts of the world over a longer period of time. Last few months, those butter prices have increased quite significantly, and that means that we have expectations for our dairy fat business maybe from Q3, Q4, 2013, something like this. The CCF business we have talked about, and that deserves a clear red. These slides are also used in other circumstances than this meeting, and we believe our CCF teams have done a remarkable piece of work moving us to a solution approach, selling all other products in the CCF basket beyond the CBE, growing market shares, growing the business in emerging markets, and so forth. So that's why we do this little bit odd yellow-red color coding here. Infant nutrition continuing very nicely. Food service was very strong in 2009 and 2010, had a more difficult year in 2011, is coming back little by little here and improving, and Oasis in the U.S. is doing really, really nicely. Part of the bakery success, by the way, is definitely also Louisville in the U.S. And then in fast-growing economies, we are developing according to plan in both China and Brazil. Turning page 16, our productivity efficiency efforts, some of them moving on better than plan, others moving on according to plan. So no major things to report here. And then on the people side, our various human resource-oriented projects also predominantly developing according to plans. So we are coming to the classical page 18. What I can see, this slide has not changed anything at all compared to the last two quarters. Where we again say that the impact on our industry from a more difficult general economy in particular Europe is difficult to predict. However, and this business is not very cyclical compared to many other industries, but we are not totally uncyclical, we want to underline. But however, based on our customer value propositions for health, no trans fat, low saturated fats, and so forth, reduced costs, and our approach with customer product co-development and solutions approach, and all supported by the AAK Acceleration Program, we continue to remain prudently optimistic for the future, mainly driven by a very strong food ingredients business. That would be our concluding remarks. Before we go over to Q&A and so forth, please note a small side comment on page 20 that hopefully can mitigate most or all of our Sandy extraordinary costs. And even more important, please note also page 21, where we invite all of you to our Capital Market Days, where we have a more Scandinavian event conducted mainly in Swedish language on November 19 in Stockholm. And then we have an event in Copenhagen that will be conducted in English or Swenglish on November 21. I believe sign-on time has expired, but for important people like you, if you have not signed on for this, we can arrange a few extra seats. So very welcome to Stockholm and or Copenhagen. With this, I believe we can conclude, and we can go over to some Q&A, etc. So please be welcome, Q&A.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Your first question comes from the line of Richard Koch. Please go ahead.
Hi, Richard from Chevron. Just starting off with a question on the tax reduction there that you're talking about. So that will be a positive impact of 20 million in Q4. And for assuming the tax rate lowers to 22% in Sweden, what will be the impact on the group tax rate overall?
Hello, Richard. Thank you for this question. And as always, I take personally the very easy questions, and I delegate to Peter or Frederick the more complicated questions. And as this is, as far as I personally understand, not finally, formally decided, I believe this is a question I should delegate. Is it Peter or Frederick who wants to take it?
I can take it.
What we expect next year is an unchanged tax rate. We will have a positive impact from the lower Swedish tax rate, but on the other hand, our earnings will increase in U.S. and Latin America with a higher tax rate.
So the isolated impact from the lower tax rate in Sweden, what should one expect for that?
You will have the positive impact in a one-off with 20 million in the fourth quarter, and then there will be a net no change in 2013 due to the fact that there will be a lower effect in Sweden, but on the other hand, there will be a different mix in 2013 due to a higher proportion of earnings will come from high-taxed countries.
Okay, thanks. And on the bakery and infant nutrition, you say it's performing very well within food ingredients. What is the growth rate that you're seeing there approximately?
We will give you all the details on the evolution per sub-segment in food ingredients 2 weeks from now at our capital market days, the way we have done the last few years. And then you will get both the growth rate and the profit improvement rate in every sub-segment, infant, bakery, DFA, food service, and another industry. So please bear with us, Richard, and then you get it all the details around this 2 weeks from now.
Okay, thanks. I'll step out of line.
Your next question comes to the line of Baldar from Danske Bank Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I have a couple of questions, if I may. To begin with the CCF division, you mentioned that you see some price pressure. And could you just give us an update on the competitive environment and what your views on what you can do to increase your competitive advantages relative to your peers from a longer-term standpoint?
Hello, Bila. Good question, but a big question. But let's give us a chance to give you the short version of this. But before going into the short version of this very good question, I want again to promote our Capital Market Day, where we will have Torben Friis-Lange, our Senior Vice President, CCF Business Area, and he will talk very much about these kind of things. As you know, for many years, cocoa butter was hovering around $4,000 to $5,000 per metric ton. AAK, we never disclosed exactly how much of CCF was CBE, but in meetings like this, we have more or less said things like, it's not 100% and it's not 0%, so if you start your iterative guesstimating around half of it, you're not completely wrong. We made statements like this if we go back a few years. Then when cocoa butter very quickly quite some time ago went down to the $2,500 to $2,700 per metric ton range, that is of course per kilo a dramatic change. And the people who had not turned to CBE before this was not that easy to convince to turn to CBE during these circumstances. Having said that, CBE also have some technical advantages in certain applications. CBE has huge advantages from a consumer point of view or a production point of view for our customer. Then you have all the other products in CCF for various coatings and compounds and cocoa butter substitutes and cocoa butter replacers with cost and health and production arguments. Having been very, very successful pushing CBE a little bit, if I may say so, one-sided approach, we turned the organization around to go to a more solution approach, focus more customer co-development and pushing all the different CCF products. We have also invested organically in our presence in high-growth markets. As you know, AAK, 50% of our business is in low-growth markets, Northern and Western Europe, and 50% of our business is in mid- to high-growth markets, Central Eastern Europe, North America, Latin America, and Asia. And this has been reinforced by the CCF team. So all this have made the team mitigate this pressure, after all, relatively successful compared to what it could have been. And now cocoa butter 6 months forward went up quite quickly to 4,100 US dollars per metric ton. Earlier this week, it dropped down back to 3,600, 3,700. I'm not updated on the prices exactly as we speak, but I would suspect they are around 3,600, 3,700, which is a dramatic improvement compared to the 2,500, 2,700 we saw for basically nearly a 18-month period or so. But of course, still some way to go before we are in a stable way back to the $4,000 to $5,000. So all this difficult to predict. Q4 will no doubt also be very tough, very tough. Q1, Q2 will be a little bit better, but still not what it should be. And any material improvements we cannot expect until our Q3 and Q4 reports 2013. That would be the more high-level, short version answer to your question, Billy, if I understood it correctly. And then again, at our Capital Market Day, Torben Friis-Lange will develop around this and more on CCF.
Okay, thank you. And one final question on food ingredients. Could you give us an update on the volume contribution from what you refer to commodities? If I remember things right, it was around 20% in 2010. Also, what kind of volume contribution from a commodity standpoint that Oasis contributes with today?
I believe your recollection is, as always, extraordinarily good, Mr. Biele. I can also say quickly, Oasis would be, all of it would be in the food service subsegment. And then again, I want to promote our Capital Market Day, where you will get all the details on the various subsegments in food ingredients.
Okay, thanks. And on group level, has it come down substantially from the 20% level in 2010 today? And is this sort of the new level that we should expect going forward, or do you expect further shifts, so to say, to high margin products?
Hi, Bela. No, I will say there are no major changes compared to last year.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes line of Patrick Setterberg from Nordea Copenhagen. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. A couple of questions. The first one, I was a little bit surprised about the volume development in the CCF division. I can understand the pressure on the prices due to the low cocoa butter price, but could you please give me a better insight why the volume is coming off so sharply?
Well, I think it's a direct consequence of the of that pressure that we are experiencing in the market. So it has been more difficult to maintain the particularly the CB volumes in given the environment we've seen with the cocoa butter prices. So I think we've actually stood up rather well with the volume decrease you see here, which I think, given the sort of operating environment, is not that bad.
But is customers shifting back to cocoa butter compared to cocoa butter or CB?
That is something we have seen very, very, very little. But as you know, we are not totally alone in the CBE market, but we believe we are the market leader, and we being the market leader and responsible business people, in certain situations, certain approaches from our side are the natural thing to do. The pressure can be such that there is business that we believe is in our long-term interest to walk away from.
Okay. So I suppose when you talk about difficult quarters in the coming period, we should expect that volumes will be tough to defend, even in, especially in the fourth quarter, but as well maybe in the beginning of 2013.
I think you should, personally I believe that Q4 will be very tough again. If you look upon historical sequential evolutions between Q3 and Q4 without us violating our traditional approach of never giving any forecasts, but a good guidance is to look upon historical sequential pattern between Q3 and Q4, and we shouldn't have any major deviation from such. Then Q1, Q2, life should probably very, very, very slightly maybe improve. But all this is very difficult to predict. The material changes in case cocoa butter is stabilized at a higher level, you will see in Q3, Q4.
Okay. Then my last question is relating to the very strong change in net working capital. In the first 9 months of 2012, we have seen an improvement of 1.1 billion. I'm just wondering if you can give some kind of a split of how much of that is driven by a raw material price effect and how much is driven by structural initiatives.
Very good question, Patrick, and as it's more complicated one, I delegate it.
I think for the first 3 quarters of the year, we saw a positive outflow from working capital around 500 million. I don't know if that was the number you were referring to, but that's certainly what we've seen, and I would say most of this is actually underlying performance improvement on the working capital side. We have reduced our inventories both in Swedish krona and also in metric tons on inventory, and we have improved our payment terms with suppliers, and we're also improving in getting money from our customers, basically. So most of this improvement will be underlying improvement.
So my follow-up is then, is there more to come on structural initiatives?
Well, it's certainly something we're working on, but I think here short-term I would expect us to see more from the way the prices have developed, but it's definitely on our agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
We have a question from the line of James Targett. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. It's James Targett here from Berenberg Bank. Just a couple of questions from me. Firstly, in the food ingredients division, you mentioned the EBIT per kilo strong due to exceptionally favorable product mix. I'm just used to the word exceptionally. To what extent does that imply that it can't be repeated, that kind of product mix going forward over the next couple of quarters? And then in terms of the impact from the UK volumes, I was understanding that the impact from those low commodity volumes in the UK was going to decrease post Q2 this year. I just wanted to, your views on how much longer we should expect a negative impact on volumes from the UK commodity volumes, and then just finally on the CBE margins. I mean, to what extent is an improvement in profitability in this division really reliant on the underlying improvement in cocoa butter prices? Is you emphasizing the functionality benefits of the products and also your more solutions-based approach not going to be enough in itself to improve profitability in this division? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hello, James.
Hi.
A number of very good questions. Let's
take the second one first. U.K., yes. We have, if not promised you, so at least indicated to you that by the end of Q2, the lion part of that reconfiguration of our U.K. strategy should have been washed through in the quarterly year-to-year comparison. We've said many times in these meetings that in a business large enough as AAK, there's always a few things that go a bit better than we had planned or estimated, and there is always a few things that show to be more difficult than planned or estimated. And maybe we sometimes have a tendency to talk more then about the things that go a little bit better than estimated, but we should not shy away from taking head-on the discussion on the things that have been more difficult than estimated. And I believe in a better general economy, our estimation that most of the U.K. change should be through by end of Q2 would have been more or less correct. But in a tough general economy in the U.K., with very professional, very large retail chains putting huge pressure on the entire system, with the percentage of branded goods in the retail sector being the highest, to the best of my personal knowledge, in Europe, with, if I recall correctly, 50% or 51% in the packed goods sector, U.K. is tough for us. The team is doing a fantastic job. They are fighting on all kind of flanks with all our strategies and all the arms we possess. But Q3 has been more difficult than estimated, and we do not see any huge change in this in Q4 either. So in the retooling of the U.K. business from a commodity business to a semi-specialty specialty business, we are obviously 3 months late, and we might be 6 months late also. That would be our answer to that. EBIT per kilo in FI, you see the graph on page 10, where we have been developing from 0.4 and then continuously nearly a straight line up to 0.7 or 0.68, 0.69, and now we are just below 0.8. I would personally expect this to continue to improve. I would, though, personally expect it to improve not with the same sequential change as we have here from Q2 to Q3. That is extraordinary, but a slow, gradually steady, step-by-step improvement is that what we are working for. Then we cannot forecast or predict any of that, but we are predicting that our high-margin business is growing faster than the low-margin business, and we are improving in several ways, and we're also getting a little bit more leverage and a little bit more productivity on top of that. So difficult to predict, but we are certainly working on continuing to improve.
Can I just check there? There's nothing in the product mix in the third quarter, which is giving you a one-off benefit, which is going to reverse in the fourth quarter or in the first half.
No, definitely not. But there was a good product mix. No doubt, there was a good product mix. CBE saved the most complex question to the end, and it's very adjacent to the question we had here before, one or two of the questions we had here before. Of course, we can improve profitability by a solution approach, organic growth, new economies, growth markets, pushing the whole catalog, customer co-development. Of course, we can do that, and that would be a more gradual step-by-step improvement. Then, if we do not have a higher slash more normal cocoa butter price. That has, however, in the long run, a quite dramatic effect to the numbers. So you're right, there is two angles to the CCF improvement. There is the hard daily work in the vineyard, working with all the arms that we possess in terms of products and solution approach and markets and so forth and so forth. And then there is the other dimension to it. As CBE is a relatively important part of CCF, and here there is a technical approach to selling CBE, but as it replaces cocoa butter, there is also a cost dimension to that. And when prices are swinging between $5,000 per metric ton and $2,500 per metric ton, if you calculate that in SEK per kilo, you get some remarkable swings. So, but you're absolutely right. We should not ignore the underlying steady improvement that the team is achieving by working with our AAK acceleration strategies. I don't know, James, if I answered your questions, but at least I tried.
Yes, thank you. That was very helpful.
Your next question comes from Christopher Lyram. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Christopher Lyram from SEB Enskilda here. I got a few questions. The first one is, do you believe that underlying demand at the U.S. East Coast has been negatively impacted during the past weeks? And on that note, do you expect that invoicing for you can be negatively affected due to low production? Hello?
Yeah. I think on your first question, obviously there is a short-term impact on the demand, but longer-term we don't expect there should be any particular impact of this once things are up and running again. Obviously, on our invoicing, there will also be a shorter impact as a consequence of the factory not being in operation at the moment. But I think it's worth bearing in mind here, as we've said, that we have rather good insurance coverage. So while we expect the negative impact to be in the range we indicated here of 20 to 25 million SEK, and any additional cost will not be borne by us, is the expectation.
Okay, thank you. On that note also, do you think there is a product mix change due to the Hurricane Sandy that could bring EBIT per ton downwards?
No, we don't have any reason to believe that's the case.
And on a theme of synergies between Newark and Louisville, how has the synergies developed over the past few months, few quarters?
But that's developed in accordance with our plans. So these businesses supplement each other well and work well together, and there's been synergies between them. And that's basically performing in accordance with what we expected when we did the deal last year.
Yeah. And then on what is your capacity utilization within baby foods, and do you think it could expand further?
In baby food, we have a range of different products. Generally speaking, this business is developing nicely. So yes, at some point of time, we need to do some capex, some de-bottleneck capex. That is happening all the time in very small incremental steps. And so far, definitively, capex not surpassing our yearly normal depreciation levels, and currently we are not foreseeing any major capex that would significantly surpass the yearly depreciation levels driven by this. Then if we one day come back and say we want to build a new factory in a new market, then we will tell you when that day occurs, but that's not on the agenda right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes to the line of Per Jorgensen. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. A lot of my questions have been asked, but just a few things on the FI. If you take a look at the quite impressive increase in the EBIT per kilo, how much do the acquisition play in that development? And do you see, is there any special orders, anything that makes this quite impressive development?
Hello, Mr. Jorgensen. What we can say here is that Crown Food is relatively small or very small in the total perspective, but developing according to plan. Oasis is, however, visible on the screen a little bit, and Oasis EBIT per kilo is below group average, as we have said. So if you could adjust for Oasis, the improvement would be even more significant. So our strategy is working. Our baby food business is pulling up the average, no doubt. But we've also been successful in pulling up the average on some other important products. Again, with the risk of repeating myself, I do promote our capital market days, because here we will go into the details of both volume and EBIT per kilo for the different subsegments in FI, and then you maybe get more clarity to this important question.
That's excellent. Okay. I get the impression that the issues in the CCF business, it's totally external problems. There are no internal things that are actually going against you. Is that correct, understood?
I would go, thank you for that question, because I believe our CCF team deserves that. I would go forward. On the contrary, without the fantastic job from all our technical and commercial and supply chain people in CCF, the situation would be even worse.
Okay. So you'll be ready when the markets come back to get full get full effect of that.
If you all promise to not increase your estimates and things like this, I would say yes to that.
Okay.
Otherwise, I say no to that.
Okay, great. And maybe a question for the Capital Market Day, but your plan for doubling the EBIT in around 2015, the time is getting closer, and we can see the quite impressive development in the EBIT since you started, Arne. Could you maybe elaborate a bit about CapEx? There was a question before, but do you see any CapEx issues relating to this doubling your EBIT when we are getting so close to the target now?
Mr. Jorgensen, there was two questions in that, or at least I need to take it as questions and comment it. First, our double the EBIT, half of it through organic growth and half of it through productivity, is we were always very careful to say that's not a official financial target decided by the board and so forth. We were always clear on this when we announced it at the Capital Market Day in November 2010. It's a management ambition, and we were hovering around if it was 3 to 7 years or 5 years or 4 to 6 years and. Doubling means an EBIT CAGR of 15%.
Yeah.
You see now a number of quarters where we are more like 10, 11, 12, 13%.
Mm-hmm.
You will get more detailed comments on this also 2 weeks from now. But we have not revised our management ambition. Then it's not very difficult to take a stance to say that, okay, it's maybe rather 5 to 6 years than 4 to 5 years, but we are not currently revising this management ambition. Second part was CapEx, where we have always said that we should typically be in the magnitude of yearly depreciation. Sometimes we say in average over a cycle we should be at that level. You see this quarter we are below the depreciation level. We say that over a period of years we should be at that average. Some years we will be below. There could be some years where we would be higher. We cannot exclude if this nice evolution continues, because when we sell a metric ton of speciality or semi-speciality products, that takes much more production capacity than a metric ton of commodity. So at some point of time, we need to increase capacity. That could be through M&A, where we acquire companies that are not running on full utilization, or it can be greenfield projects. We don't see, though, if we, the day we would build a factory one somewhere, we believe that we can build in a clever way. So when you all do your models and so forth, we do not see any CapEx requirement that would materially swing any of your models or estimates. I don't know, Mr. Jorgensen, if I answered your questions.
Partly. But I'll get back on the Capital Markets Day. I'll see you there. Thank you.
Thank you. Very welcome.
Do you want me to dial out to that one now, or do you want me to...
You have a question from Linus Peter Wallin. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I would like to return to the, I guess, unexpectedly large volume drop for CCF in the quarter. If I understand things correctly, this volume drop is mainly attributable to lower volumes or your high-quality cocoa butter products, I mean, your equivalents and similar products. So I guess my question is, are you still having these clients as customers in turn, but you're but mainly supporting them now with cocoa butter substitutes and maybe filling fats and, I mean, basically lower-priced products of yours?
Hello, Mr. Wallin. I like the commercially oriented question. We have a large customer span. We indicated that we believe we are market leaders. Being market leader and responsible business people wanting to create value over time and believing that the market will turn back to normal, which it seems to currently be doing, we indicated that there are commercial situations where you rather walk away from business than driving prices further down and so forth. And then there might be other competitors wanting to take that business. When you are in such situation, your actions are very different subject to what customer it is and so forth. I don't want to go deeper in that material for obvious reasons, but we believe that we have the house in order to come back and be really successful the day the things have changed in a stable way.
Okay, thank you. Because I guess then my follow-up question would be, presuming that the current cocoa butter price recovery would sustain, and then we would see a much better pricing environment for you and your CBE products, especially filtering through into your report figures in Q3 and Q4 next year. But then I guess also what we would be hoping for would to see a pretty substantial volume recovery on top of the EBIT per kilo coming back. So I would interpret your answer as, although you are now choosing to not take on all the contracts simply because you don't seeing them profitable enough, you still feel confident to see volumes coming back on top of EBIT per kilo recovery?
Mr. Wallin, very good question. And again, as we said 10 minutes ago on another question, if you all manage your expectations in a reasonable way and we don't get carried away in an euphoric way on the potential upside, I would then nevertheless be forced to say a clear yes to your comment. But please remember, it's in an evolutionary way, and we are far away from seeing that stable cocoa butter price. Currently, it is at halfway exactly between what we were used to and what we had to suffer. So In all theory, you're absolutely right, but our experience is that things like these takes a bit more time than we wanted to do.
Okay, well, that's good enough for me. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1.
I believe we have time. We can continue maybe, but we should respect the time we have invited our participants to. So we should take one more question.
There are no further questions at this time, sir. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody, for attending, and thank you for a good discussion and a good Q&A session. And again, we wish to see you all at our Capital Market Days, November 19 in Stockholm and November 21 in Copenhagen. So very welcome, everybody, and thank you very much for today, and have a good afternoon, everybody.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.